Welcome to the Key Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things Key Beauty, hosted by me, Sugar Peaches, from Sugar Peaches Loves, a German and English beauty blog dedicated to beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. Huzzah! The worst of the heat wave here in Germany seems to be over, and believe it or not, we are already nearing the last quarter of this year. Scary, I know. And with autumn and winter fast approaching, I felt it was time to do a little update on my previous Korean skincare trends for 2018 episode, predicting 5 more K-beauty trends today, which I think will become, or already are, a pretty big thing in the global beauty industry. So let's cast a look into the future of Asian and Western skincare, shall we? Hi guys, and welcome back to the K-Beauty Podcast. This past week has been, sweet relief, markedly cooler, though we still get the odd 30 plus degrees Celsius here where I live. But at least it's starting to cool down at night and we can sleep again, thank the Lord. It really does seem like summer's coming to an end. Now, I'm not an autumn or winter fan in general, to be honest, since, well, my depression makes me dread the darkness and shorter days. A lot of you can probably relate to that. But I'm nevertheless starting to look forward to milder temperatures and being able to drink warm cocoa or tea again without perspiring like crazy. It was nice to know, by the way, that I'm not the only one suffering from the heat wave. I got some really nice feedback from you guys. A couple of you messaged me and said thank you for the heat wave emergency episode. It was nice to know that not only I suffer from excessive sweating and looking horrible when it's over 30 degrees, really over 26 degrees probably is when it starts. So thank you for the feedback I got. Thank you again. I will repeat this probably 1,000 times. Thank you to everyone who reaches out to me and lets me know that the podcast has any value for you. This is, by the way, already my second time recording this. I had a full episode, fully edited. It was finished. I was about to export it from Audacity, and then Audacity crashed for whatever reason. And it was all gone. It was gone. It was just gone. Everything. It was really horrible. And these are the moments where, I will admit it, I ask myself, why am I doing this? Are there really people who find this useful? Is this leading me anywhere where I'm not just wasting my time? Because it takes me a good 7 to 10 days. Usually it's a long process to make an episode. The recording and the editing takes the longest. So I've wasted 4 days of work from morning till evening, and I'll have to do it all again. But anyway, that doesn't actually need to concern you. But let's just dive into the topic, shall we? I'm sorry, I just kind of lost my mind today over this. It was just so mean, you know? If it had happened in the beginning of editing, but it was literally a finished episode, and it's gone. It's gone. All right, so back to the topic. For this week, I really, really wanted to talk about some new Korean beauty trends I have been noticing lately. My podcast episode on key beauty trends in 2018, I did that a while ago. I think that was my second episode. It still remains one of the most listened to and downloaded of all time. And I also still get really high click rates for a blog article I did in early 2018 on a similar topic. I guess it makes sense. We all want to know what the next big thing in beauty is. And well, Asian beauty is usually miles ahead of Western beauty when it comes to trends and sort of funky, futuristic skincare. We only now are seeing sheet masks, sleeping creams, peptide serums, etc. arriving here in the West. Or take, for instance, hydrogel masks. Neutrogena brought out a few of them this year, and they actually aren't half bad. In fact, I quite enjoyed them. I reviewed a couple of them. I think 3 out of the 4 I tried out and reviewed on my blog in German, because it just got launched in Germany. But I couldn't help smile over how other German beauty bloggers who don't know that much about K-beauty saw them as this new innovative thing that hasn't been launched before, because of course they aren't new, they're just a copy of hydrogel masks that have been around for ages, from Juanmisa or Leaders or so many others. And I mean, that's fine because Korea has a tendency to copy things from the West as well without always giving credit. So it's a give and take in a globalized capitalist society, let's face it. Everyone tries to copy someone else's unique idea and then profit off of it. It's just sadly what happens. Well, maybe it isn't even sad because it means we get a larger variety of the one good thing. But yeah, the Neutrogena ones, I think they're okay. But if you've tried Korean sheet masks or hydrogel masks, you usually find it a bit hard to get too excited over the Western versions, is just my opinion. It's just pretty apparent to me that especially Korean skincare research is pretty cutting edge. And what will be the next big thing in the West is basically already a full-blown mainstream trend in Korea right now. So that is why today we will discuss, or well, I will discuss 5 K-beauty trends that I think are starting to become really big lately. Some of these have been around for a while, but now all of a sudden the mainstream is discovering them as something new and trendworthy. From indigo blue miracle ingredients to solid sunscreens, I'm going to cast another look into the future and discuss the trends I'm seeing emerge in Korea and the rest of Asia at the moment. So let's go. Trend number one is eggplant extract. Now, purple seems to be the new black when it comes to acne skincare from Korea at the moment. Or maybe purple is the new blue because somehow acne products from Korea always seem to have a blue packaging. Blue and white seems to be the acne aesthetic for some reason. But now it's often purple. Purple mixed with white. And it's all about the eggplant extract. This has been going on for a while now. I would say since the beginning of 2018. And I remember back when I did my first K-beauty trend episode, I was actually close to including the eggplant extract craze, but I wasn't sure if it would stay a niche phenomenon or become a breakout ingredient. Now, since then, there have only ever been more eggplant skincare lines popping up on social media, and I really keep seeing purple everywhere. So why eggplant extract for skincare geared towards oily-oily combo and acne-prone skin? What's it good for, or why is it that great for this particular skin type? And why are K-beauty brands so into this ingredient right now? Some of you may remember that I've actually talked about eggplant extract before when I introduced you to the brand Your Skin in my 10 K-beauty brands you need to try episode. So if you listen to that episode, which you should if you haven't yet, because those 10 brands are seriously awesome and you will want to try them after listening to that episode, promised. But yeah, if you listened to that episode already, this may feel a bit repetitive and I apologize for that. It's even more repetitive for me because I've already read it today and I've already recorded all of this. It feels a little bit like deja vu talking about this again. Anyway, let's get back to the topic. So if you Google eggplant extract plus skin, you will probably bring up a number of, shall we say, highly questionable natural remedy style web pages that all rage against big pharma, because these will tell you that eggplant extract basically cures skin cancer. It is true, apparently, that there is some promising research regarding eggplant extract potentially fighting skin cancer, but it's all early stages and it's not as simple as just putting a cream with the extract on your molds and they will gone. So just as always, just be careful with the information that's out there. A lot of the times, these types of web pages are also trying to sell you something while at the same time bashing quote unquote big pharma for trying to sell you something. I don't know. Maybe it's because Germany has universal healthcare, so I'm used to being very trustworthy of my doctors and being able to always go to doctors, but I am suspicious of alternative medicine. And alternative medicine is very en vogue in my part of Germany. Southern, sort of southwestern Germany is known for a lot of these types of homeopathy, etc. style people. They love to settle here, but I'm just, call me suspicious. That's all I'm saying. But yes, what that shows us, of course, is that eggplant extract does have some pretty exciting and pretty impressive components and natural ingredients that can be very good for our skin. It's a bit of a superfood, really, especially if you suffer from inflammation and or acne or excess sebum. Eggplant has a couple of very interesting phytochemicals on offer. Firstly, eggplants are rich in antioxidants and especially so-called anthocyanins, which are sort of kinda a type of antioxidant. This is not 100% precise, but since I'm not a scientist, that's as good as it gets with me. I'm sorry. These anthocyanins are said to help fight signs of premature aging and sun damage and have antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, possibly even antiviral properties. Now you can also see why eggplant extract is so interesting for anti-acne and oil-controlling products. They fight inflammation and bacteria and can potentially help calm down redness and heal slash even prevent breakouts. Eggplants are also rich in a number of minerals that can be beneficial for the skin, especially manganese, copper, folate, and a number of B vitamins. Though to be fair, I can't tell you if putting the extract on your face will have the same benefits as eating and ingesting the eggplant. Nevertheless, I am very intrigued by everything that eggplant extract has to offer. So as I said, eggplant skincare products are all the rage in Korea right now, which means you have a wide variety to choose from if you're interested in trying out what eggplant extract can do for your skin. Papa Recipe has a whole eggplant skincare line, with the Eggplant Clearing Ampoule probably the most promising looking product out of the lineup. It contains eggplant extract and azelaic acid, which is said to help combat acne and heal acne scarring, though I'm not sure how high the percentage of the acid is in this. This is also supposed to help with hyperpigmentation, so it might be interesting to you if you suffer from that. Your Skin, that intriguing K-beauty brand I'm currently obsessively stalking until their products are a bit easier to get a hold of, also has a full line of eggplant products, with the Your Skin Eggplant Master Peeling Pads probably being the most readily available product. And guys, these just sounds so great. I'm super keen to try them out. I think they are one of the most interesting products from the brand, and there are a couple of products I find interesting, so that's saying something. These pads should be amazing for acne-prone and oily skin, potentially cutting down excessive sebum while also having gentle antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties. A sheet mask that has been a bit of a social media, or SNS, as Koreans call it, sensation is the Exoy Eggplant Mask Pack. Now, this has been mostly hyped in Korea. I've hardly seen it mentioned in the global non-Korean Asian beauty community, so I don't know too much about it yet. After reading up on this mask, however, which besides eggplant extract also contains honey and coconut, so that means it should be very moisturizing, even if targeted at combating oiliness and acne, which is always exciting if you, like me, suffer from dehydrated oily skin. I'm quite intrigued now, I have to say. It sounds like this could be an awesome mask for us oily combo peeps, and I've added it to my wish list now. It's that long wish list that never seems to get shorter. Now, this is available at Althea Korea, so as always, I will link this and all other products mentioned in my episode notes, which you can find on the blog, so do check it out. Now, there are so many more eggplant-centric products coming out, and I think we will keep seeing them being developed and launched right through 2019. But for now, these are the main recommendations I want to give. You can check out the entire Papa Recipe line. They have another mask and I think a cream. There are a couple of things you can try out. I must say, I can see a lot of potential in this superfood extract for a number of skin ailments, and well, purple packaging does look so very stylish, doesn't it? Now, trend number two is sunscreen sticks. I mentioned sun sticks in my heatwave emergency episode already, and indeed 2018 seems to be the year of the sun stick in Korea. So many new sunscreens in stick form have come out and keep coming out this year. It's crazy. I must say, I feel almost a bit overwhelmed with choice and kind of want want to try all of them at the same time, which would of course be insane. So it's hard to narrow it down given all the choice. Now, I myself have only ever known sunscreen sticks as something inconvenient with a horribly crumbly texture and a white cast from hell. The West End / French pharmacy brand style sun sticks are usually meant to be more for kids who need a high SPF, but apparently they don't deserve a nice texture for their sunscreens. Kids' sunscreen is always weirdly thick, greasy, and unflatteringly white casty. I think it's so damn cruel if you ask me as a traumatized European child. Of course, Korean sunscreen sticks, or sun sticks as they usually are called, are nothing like that. They use sunscreen all day, every day, and reapply it religiously throughout the day, so it has to feel comfortable on the skin. I think the reason that sun sticks are becoming so popular right now, maybe because of the insane heat wave, which requires even the most sunscreen lazy among us to become real about sun protection. And of course, on a more capitalist level, sun sticks are another way to sell us something in a smaller packaging for a higher price. Sunscreen sticks are usually quite small and compact, and often cost a few dollars more than regular cream sunscreens. So you get less for more money. Nevertheless, I'm still all for these new little gems, given that they seem just so very convenient. They're very travel and purse friendly due to their solid form, they don't spill, and they make reapplication of sunscreen throughout the day so much easier. You can even apply them over your makeup. I think that does count for something, even though they are sometimes overpriced. Now, some people may find the finish of most of them a bit too shiny, and it does seem to be difficult to find a sunstick with a matte finish. So if you have very oily skin, these may not work so well for you. Koreans are still all about that glowy chok chok style finish, so most of the sun sticks are consciously created with such a finish in mind. Of course, they want the glow, thus they can actually work quite nicely as a sort of glass skin style highlighter, creating a natural looking light reflecting dew. It's just that that doesn't work for all skin types, but it can look quite flattering and nice if you don't mind a bit of a dewy glow. I feel that sun sticks will become big in the Western world next year, since we are always a bit late with these trends. There are already sun sticks from Western brands, as I said, but they aren't quite as elegant yet as the Korean ones. And I feel that there will be a lot more coming out. I've already seen one or two in American influencer videos, so let's see what happens for next year. As I said, there are so many K-beauty sun sticks out there, and I must admit I haven't tried any of them yet. So I can only go by recommendations from other people and the information I found online from blogs, shops, and video reviews. First off, I talked about this one before as a crave of the week, and it still remains on my wish list, the AHC Natural Plus Sunstick. This is supposed to give a beautiful finish and be very flattering on the skin. It is Korea's current best-selling sunblock, which really is a mark of quality, I would say, because Koreans are really picky about their sunscreen. This has SPF 50+ and a PA quadruple plus rating, so it has the highest protection from UVA ratings possible. UVA rays, of course, are the ones that cause your skin to age prematurely. This applies well over makeup, and as I said, apparently is extremely popular in Korea. Now, the April Skin Magic Snow Sunstick has SPF 50+ and PA triple plus rating. This has been mentioned by a couple of people online as their current favorite. Apparently, it has a bit of a tone-up effect, and tone-up products are another current trend in Korea. Basically, tone-up just means that it brightens the skin. If you want to be super critical, you could say they're trying to tone up, as in make their skin appear lighter than it is, but I'm not going to get into that very complicated debate over Koreans trying to look as white as possible, because as a Caucasian, I just feel whatever I'm going to say on this will end up just sounding wrong, so I just don't feel I'm the one to discuss this. A person of color or another Asian should talk talk about this subject critically, I feel. It's not a bleaching product. I just wanted to stress that. It's more of a cosmetic effect. It doesn't actually change the skin. It just makes it appear fresher and brighter. So it's not really whitening. I just have heard that this sunstick applies very beautifully and just gives a great finish. As I said, it just makes you look very fresh and awake. The Carezone Doctor Solution Derma Repair Cica Sunstick with SPF 47 and triple PA Plus is Director Pi approved and is, according to her, one of the few physical sunscreen sticks that still has a smooth and clear finish on the skin. I'm so curious about the sunscreen. It sounds awesome. It sounds like it's the right mix of physical sunscreen ingredients and still having a nice dewy finish. And it seems to apply just like a dream. She actually showed it in a video and it just looked fantastic. The Innisfree Atto Soothing Sunstick with SPF 50 Plus and PA Quadruple Plus is another physical sunscreen from the very well-received Atto skincare line. It's said to be good for people with sensitive skin. I keep hearing it being mentioned in many forums and such, and I really like Innisfree as a brand, so I wanted to include it here. It seems to have a less dewy finish compared to some of the other sticks, so it may work better for oily skin types. Now, the Etude House UV Double Cut Transparent Sunstick with SPF 50 Plus and PA Quadruple Plus also seems to apply more matte compared to the other sunsticks. Now, Director Pi had mixed feelings about this sunstick because apparently it doesn't apply as well over makeup, but she also said that it was an affordable and reliable option for people with oily skin. Personally, I think the Carezone sunstick sounds the most exciting, followed by the AHC one. I just feel the Carezone one sounds just a little bit more up my alley. As I said, I was just impressed with how well it applies and what a beautiful finish it has. And we're already on trend number 3, which is ready-to-use pads. Now, this is also not a new trend as such, since peeling pads have been around for a while now. I know you guys in the US have a few peeling pads from different brands, like the Stridex ones. We can't really get those here in Germany, from what I know. Two things are happening at the moment that both make me think we haven't even seen the beginning of the pads that are pre-soaked in fluid trend, however. For one, I see more and more Western brands bring out these pads, especially peeling pads. Pixi, L'Oreal Paris, Peter Thomas Roth, Nip and Fab. Everyone seems to now have their own peeling pad version, usually, of course, with glycolic acid as the main ingredient. So an AHA peeling pad, mostly. Now, as per usual, Korean beauty brands have already moved a step further. Which brings me to the second reason why I feel ready-to-use pads are now even bigger. Apart from peeling pads, we now have a whole host of other pre-soaked pads with a number of exciting skincare ingredients. Moisturizing toner pads with rose water, with eggplant extract for oil control, with azulene, and more on that ingredient soon, with wine extract, with green tea, with Centella Asiatica, with fermented ingredients, vitamin C, so many interesting pads, and such a variety of them as well. It's incredible. What makes these types of ready-to-use pads so interesting is, of course, their convenience. They're pre-soaked, so all you need to do is grab one and wipe your face with them. They're also very travel-friendly, and yet just an overall convenient, useful product. And Korean brands offer peeling pads, moisturizing pads, pads with a high percentage of a particular ingredient, brightening pads, or a combination of all of those in one pad. Especially moisturizing toner pads seem to become more and more popular. And I myself am currently trying out the Calm Leaf Rose Moisture Pads, which are soaked in a gorgeously hydrating mix of real rose water and propolis extract, as well as moisturizing ceramides and glutathione, supposed to help with hyperpigmentation. The Neogen Dermology Real Cica Pads contain Centella Asiatica water and are said to be a gentle form of exfoliation, plus a nice moisture boost after cleansing. These are still on top of my wish list. I just so covet them. Of course, you can also go for the OG pads, the COSRX One Step Peeling or Moisturer Pads. The moisture moisture-up version offers a great mix of exfoliating and hydrating ingredients. These are great for anyone with dry skin. The original ones, the peeling ones, have BHA in them as well, and so they can be a little bit too drying for dry skin. The moisturizing ones, fantastic product. They help remove flakiness and they keep skin supple and moist. I personally love both COSRX pads. They are so gentle, so well formulated. Really, pretty much all COSRX products are. Let's face it, they're just a great brand. Now, another pad version I've been eyeing for a while now are the Misha Super Aqua Smooth Skin Peeling Pads. Oh, I always stumble over this name. These aren't new and they are basically classic peeling pads, but the reason why I find them super interesting is that they don't just use BHAs and AHAs, but also PHA, so polyhydroxy acid, which is said to be gentler and provide a very effective glow to the skin. I've been a fan of PHA since I tried the Geek and Gorgeous peeling solutions. The one with BHA and PHA has been so great. I forgot what it was called. Calm Down, I think. It's the one for sensitive skin. I'm really sad because I've used it up by now. It made my skin glow like nothing else. None of the other peelings I've tried had this intense and noticeable glow, and it was so gentle that you could use it pretty much every day. Geek and Gorgeous is still only available in the European Union, sadly. I really hope they'll offer worldwide shipping soon, since I feel you guys in the US will adore their peelings. Anyway, I just love the idea of a mix of AHAs, BHAs, and PHA all in one peeling pad from Misha, especially given that these are reasonably priced. So this may be a great starter option if you want to try out acids for your skin. The percentage of the acids should still be quite gentle. They usually are in most of the peeling pads, unless it's, I guess, the Stridex ones. Now, a really intriguing peeling pad version are the Wish Formula Night Nights 365 Seawater Sleeping Pad Mask Pads. Whew, that's quite a mouthful to say. Wish Formula is so into pads. They have pads for everything, it always seems. And of course, I've raved about their more glove-like bubble peeling pads on this podcast a couple of times already. Guys, I love Wish Formula. I don't understand why they are not being discussed by bloggers more. The products are so fantastic. I guess it may be because they currently don't seem to work with a lot of international bloggers and don't send out a lot of PR. Maybe they will reemerge soon. I really hope so, because I love them. So as I said, Wish Formula makes a number of different pads. Some peelings, some moisturizers, some are toners, and, well, the seawater sleeping pads. These pads are basically like a sleeping cream or an overnight ampoule in pad form. Isn't that super cool and unique? These pads contain hydrating deep seawater, hyaluronic acid, aloe vera extract, collagen, and macadamia nut oil. So these should be great for dehydrated and dry skin types. Petite Fée offers yet another take on ready-to-use pads with their Azulene Ultra Soothing Pads. These contain chamomile extract and guaiazulene, as well as anti-wrinkle ingredients adenosine and arginine, plus skin-brightening niacinamide, hyaluronic acid, centella asiatica. Just everything that is great about K-beauty seems to be concentrated in these pads, and I'm so very, very curious about these. They work like a toner pad, from what I understand, and they should be extremely hydrating and moisturizing, as well as anti-inflammatory and very soothing for breakouts, thanks to the centella asiatica and the azulene. And speaking of azulene, this indigo blue wonder is my key beauty trend number 4. Ah, azulene. Some of you may already know azulene without actually realizing that you do, because all of the Claire's Midnight Blue products contain this ingredient, but usually highlighted mostly as German blue chamomile extract or similar, so you might not have been that aware of it. And indeed, German blue chamomile is the predominant plant origin for azulene, but it also appears in a number of other plants such as blue tansy and even mushrooms. It's what gives this super cool looking deep blue lactarius indigo mushroom its coloring, and German blue chamomile its name, without that flower actually being blue, which is confusing. This can also be found in wormwood, which some of you might know better as absinthe, that mystical herb which used to be brewed into the absinthe drink, said to cause people to hallucinate, but mostly to become very, very drunk. And of course, absinthe actually has a green color, not a blue one. That's why people always talk about seeing the green fairy. That's what that is connected to. Azulene was first extracted from German blue chamomile in the 15th century via steam distillation, and it's basically an organic compound. Now, chamomile has traditionally been used here in Germany for centuries as a healing herb. We drink it as tea when our stomachs are upset, or when we run a fever or have a cold, and we use it in salves and to treat inflamed skin. And indeed, studies have shown that German blue chamomile does have extraordinary healing properties, and it looks like azulene is the main reason for that. Azulene, especially guaiazulene, a compound of azulene, helps calm down inflammation, soothes rashes, such as the ones caused by sunburn, it can cool down overheated skin, and it could potentially also have anti-aging benefits, though this isn't 100% certain yet. Apparently, it has very high antioxidant properties, and this, combined with the anti-inflammatory powerhouse that it is, can possibly help fight the first signs of aging. Mostly, however, I love azulene products for their noticeably calming SOS rescue style effect they have on my skin. The Claire's Midnight Blue Calming Cream is such a holy grail for me whenever I have troubled skin. I really cannot sing its praises high enough. I use this as a sleeping cream most of the time. Sometimes also as a spot treatment if I have red patches on my skin after a bad reaction to new products. And sometimes I also get a weird red rash under my mouth, I think from eating certain spicy foods, and I just dab it over that rash and the next day your skin looks so much better. It doesn't completely cure the redness, but it definitely calms it down and just gives an overall smoothness to the skin. It's hard to describe, but I always notice the next day when I've used this cream. It just does something quite magical for my skin. This also lasts a really long time. I've had my tiny cream jar now for almost 10 months and it's still not empty. I think it only holds 15 ml or so, and believe me, I have used this a lot. To me, this cream is just a must-have staple. It's one of the few products where I would always say, no matter who it is, I will recommend this to you because it just works for everyone. It's a really great product. Another very intriguing product from the Claire's Midnight Blue line is the Claire's Midnight Blue Youth Activating Drop Serum. I'm still heartbroken that I dropped my PR sample after using it for roughly a month. I lost all of the remaining liquid and there was still a lot in there because you only need maybe 3 drops per use, so it was pretty much still full, and I dropped it so stupidly that it fell on my bed and the sheets just soaked up all the liquid, so I couldn't save any of it. It was very tragic. This contains azulene, of course. It gives it its gorgeous indigo blue color, but it also has peptides with anti-aging benefits galore. It's free from alcohol or any fragrance, so it works wonderfully well for people with sensitive skin. It has anti-aging and anti-wrinkle benefits and can easily be mixed into other creams, or you can use it as is. Although, since it has a bit of a, I guess, just water-like texture, it really does feel exactly like water, no oiliness whatsoever. I always feel using it by itself. It takes a while to get it into the skin, so I actually used to just mix it into an oil-based product. To me, that worked much better. Since it is so water-like and not oily or sticky at all, I would say this does work well for all skin types. It's just a great first anti-aging serum. Now, the Careology 95 Re-Blue Regenerating Serum is not cheap. This one is definitely more of a luxury oil serum, especially compared to the Claire's products. It's one of many blue oil type products that are currently quite the rage, both in Korea and here in the West. A couple of Western brands are also offering their own azulene face oils. The brand Careology has a whole line of blue themed skincare products, but I would say that their Re-Blue Serum is definitely the breakout product. From what I've heard, even K-pop and K-drama stars use it. Careology technology was developed by Korean celebrity dermatologist Lim Isuk-siuk. Sorry for mispronouncing. And so it's another derma brand, basically connected to a skincare clinic like Lee Jiham. This blue serum or blue oil contains Moroccan blue tansy, which is another reliable source for azulene. Herbivore Botanicals uses it as well, for instance, in their, I think it is even called the blue tansy cream. It also contains a blend of interesting oils and plant extracts set to help with wrinkles, soothe skin, and moisturize it deeply overnight. YouTuber Yuna Cloud swears by this and, well, she has the most amazing skin I've ever seen on anyone, ever. So that's a pretty strong endorsement. I must admit, it doesn't matter if her videos are sponsored or not. When she says she uses something, I automatically want it. Just give me that skin. It's probably all genetics, but you know, a girl can dream. In any case, I do think this is a very interesting product. I love the blue color. I love the mix of the oils. I think this could potentially be a holy grail. I just wish it was a little bit more readily available and also a bit less expensive. The Proud Mary Azulene Ampoule is a throwback to my podcast episode about 10 key beauty brands you should get to know, since Proud Mary was on that list, if you recall. And again, if you don't remember that episode, or if you haven't listened to it yet, do so, because it was one of those episodes that took forever to produce, actually, so I'm very proud of that episode. This azulene ampoule intrigues me greatly, since it combines azulene extract with tea tree extract, which should make it ideal for acne-prone, sensitive skin. I am expecting this to be very soothing and to help with the healing process if you battle breakouts. There are quite a few other azulene products currently rushing the market, but these four, plus the Petite Fée azulene pads I mentioned earlier, should give you a good idea of just how versatile and how popular this ingredient has become and continues to become in the future. I feel this might become the new Centella Asiatica. We'll see. And guess what? We're already on our last key beauty skincare trend, and that is low irritant derma skincare. You all know how fond I am of Korean low irritant derma or dermaceutical brands such as COSRX, Lee Jiham, or did I just say ham? Lee Jiham or Adstin. I'm so passionate about promoting those. You know this because I keep mentioning them. Now, happily enough, I have noticed that lately these types of low irritant, super gentle, and minimalistically formulated products targeted at sensitive skin are becoming more and more mainstream. I think it's thanks to the internet and the skincare community on social media that this is becoming such a global phenomenon. Maybe also thanks to skincare apps that give you a simple rating of ingredients, as well as, of course, science-based skincare bloggers like Lad Muffin teaching us all more and more about formulations and ingredients. It just seems that the average skincare user is getting more and more savvy when it comes to what they want and what they don't want in their skincare. And Korean mainstream brands are starting to react to this. This does not just seem to be a niche phenomena anymore from smaller skincare clinic-style derma brands. The first brand that just recently brought out a full new low irritant minimalist skincare line that is very different from their usual branding is of course Etude House and their Sun Jung line. Innisfree has had the minimum line for a while now, but I must admit I've only just noticed this one because it's becoming so much more popular and I see them popping up on social media a lot lately. And Innisfree also has their so-called Derma Formula line out now, which to me seems to try and capture the success of brands such as The Ordinary. We also have The Face Shop and their Dr. Belmer line with products that are supposedly gentle enough to be used on a baby's skin. That always seems to be a selling point for these types of derma brands. You can use it on your baby's skin. I'm not sure I would always do it depending on the ingredients, but I guess it's important to know that technically you could. It's just that gentle. Now, I do applaud these brands for going in that direction and going towards careful carefully formulated low irritant skincare. Now, some of these types of Derma brand skincare lines may still have certain aggravating ingredients, especially essential oils. Some brands use lavender oil in their formulations, since that essential oil is still considered a classic for sensitive skin, when in fact many people don't do well with it at all. I personally don't mind essential oils in my skincare as long as they are not super potently, the percentage isn't super potent, super high, but I know a lot of you prefer not to have essential oils in their skincare. I would say you should be very carefully reading these ingredient lists, even if it says for sensitive skin. Now, luckily, there are also a lot of good ingredients in these minimalist derma skincare lines. Of course, K-beauty derma brands and sub-brands, I guess, with the Sun Yung one, it always seems like its own brand, but it does belong to Etude House, of course, tend to gravitate towards classic Korean plant extracts known to calm down sensitive skin. Centella Asiatica, Madicassocyte, which is actually a component one from Centella, and green tea extract, licorice extract, all beautiful ingredients that will hydrate, soothe, and help calm down redness. What I also really like about these products is the fact that they usually offer both rich textures like balms or ointments, as well as oil-free gels or lotions. So both dry skin types as well as oilier ones can find some great products here if their skin is giving them trouble. I hope to see more and more brands hop on the Derma bandwagon, since so far, especially the Sun Yung products, they look exceptionally exciting. For me, the two most interesting Sun Yung products are the Etude House Sun Yung 5.5 Relief Toner, which contains Madicassocyte, green tea leaf extract, and Baikal Skullcap, which I have mentioned on this podcast a number of times by now. The other super intriguing product from the Sun Yung line is the 10-Free Moist Emulsion, which uses both glycerin and squalane as moisturizing ingredients. Both are lovely and help draw moisture into your skin, that's what the glycerin does, as well as lock it in there, and that's what the squalane does. Most of the Sun Yung products also seem to be alcohol-free and fragrance-free, so as I said, double check, but from what I've seen so far, they should really work well for anyone who's trying to follow a sort of zero sensitivity or low sensitivity style skincare routine. Now, I keep seeing the Innisfree The Minimum Ampoule Essence for sensitive skin on Instagram all the time lately. This product seems like a wonderfully minimalist, soothing and hydrating gel essence. Perfect if your skin is freaking out and you just need some simple, non-aggravating hydration, straight up hydration without any extra overly complicated ingredient structure. Very French pharmacy style, I would say. I also find the entire Innisfree Derma Formula product line fascinating. It's so, well, clinical, in a good way though. Very much, again, like a French pharmacy skincare line, or it also really reminds me of The Ordinary, with brown apothecary style glass bottles and jars. I would say, however, that the Innisfree Derma Formula Skin Barrier Cream seems particularly promising, especially if you have dry skin, since it contains ceramides, one of the best moisturizing ingredients you can find, really, since they naturally occur in our bodies. Ceramide creams also seem to be having a bit of a moment in 2018, and they have become such a big love of mine. They seem to moisturize without being too heavy, and they give the skin such a lovely natural lit from within glow. It's quite wonderful. When it comes to the Face Shop and their Dr. Belmer product, I don't really know too much about them as of yet, but I had a little look at the range and many of the products seem very appealing. I'm currently eyeing up the Dr. Belmer Daily Repair Atto Salt Cream, which is a skin repairing cream with 8% sea salt. The Atto in Korean skincare usually stands for moisture barrier strengthening products. They are often aimed at skin suffering from extreme dryness, flakiness, or eczema. You might know the Atto Palm skincare line. Now, sea salt is often used in these types of repair repairing creams here in Europe as well, especially Dead Sea Mineral Salt. Sea salt has antibacterial, antimicrobial, and skin-soothing properties, so it can really help with inflammation and troubled skin. Now, the only problem or problematic thing is that the cream also contains peppermint oil, which is an essential oil that can be quite aggravating for many sensitive skin types. That's really a bit of a shame. Still, I personally would love to try that. It sounds like an interesting cream. I also really liked the look of the Dr. Belmer Advanced Cica Recovery Serum. This seems to be a little bit similar to my beloved Lijiham Hyal B5 Ampule, with many similar ingredients such as nutmeg extract, hyaluronic acid, beta-glucan, plus heaps of cica goodness in the form of medicacicide, asiaticoside, asiatic acid. They are all components of Centella Asiatica, and it also contains deeply moisturizing carrot seed oil and ceramides galore. This should be very hydrating and it should make skin smooth and subtle. I would really love to know how this ampule, the Dr. Belmer one, compares to the Lijiham Hyal B5 one. They seem similar, but I just wonder texture-wise and when it comes to application on the skin and what they can do for the skin. I think the Belmer one is one to watch. And there you have it. These were my 5 K-beauty trends, additional K-beauty trends from the year 2018. Here are the weekly Graves, Faves, and Misbehaves. All right, let's dive straight into the Craves, Faves, and Misbehaves of the week, or the last 2 weeks. And the first is the Crave of the Week. So something that I'm currently coveting, and that is the Tiam Snail and Azuline Water Essence. I told you that Azuline is getting big, didn't I? So this past week, Tiam launched a brand new product with Azuline and snail extract. What an awesome combination. It was probably the first time that I felt genuinely sad that I wasn't picked during a review event on Instagram. Tiam was looking for, I think, 30 people to write a review and post a review on Instagram and you would get the product sent out to you. I wasn't picked. Sad face. If you haven't heard of Tiam before, they're basically like a sister brand to Cosrx and offer the same type of ingredient-focused clean skincare. In fact, I would say they are even more clean and straightforward when it comes to focusing on particular ingredients for each of their skincare products and choose a high percentage of a particular ingredient. I'm already a big fan of the Tiam bubble masks, both the pink and the black one, although maybe the pink one a little bit more. They are fantastic at scrubbing my pores clean and making them appear smaller after I use this. The Snail and Azuline Water Essence contains 87% snail secretion filtrate, as well as beta-glucan, fermented ingredients, and, of course, azuline. It is free from alcohol and should be crazy hydrating. Just going by the ingredients list alone, it's also really affordable. You can find the 200ml bottle at Beauty Tab for under $15, so definitely one for the wishlist. Tiam remains a brand to watch, no doubt about it. And on to the fave of the week, which is the Bioré Perfect Face Milk with SPF 50+. This might be a bit of a controversial fave of the week since many people severely dislike the sunscreen. Why? Well, because it is pretty strongly drying, to be honest. So this really only works for someone like me with oily, sweaty face syndrome during summer. So this is a Japanese sunscreen that also doubles as a makeup primer. And guys, it works so well as a makeup primer on a hot day. To me, this is not an everyday sunscreen, but rather a sunscreen for special days where your makeup needs to stay put. This seriously seemed to work like an antiperspirant for my face. And that is saying something since, again, I really sweat quite horribly in my face during summer. Hashtag TMI, hashtag just wanted to share. I wore this as a makeup base last week, or by now it's 2 weeks ago actually, for a blogging event. And even though it was a sunny and warm day, I did not sweat at all and my makeup stayed on all day. My skin stayed matte as well. It has this incredible mattifying and blurring effect on the skin. This is also sweat proof, water resistant, And you basically need a strong two-steps cleansing routine to get this stuff off at the end of the day. It stays put. So this is certainly not a sunscreen for the faint of heart. But if you, like me, have been desperately looking for a special events kind of sunscreen or makeup primer, so for dates or events or conferences, you name it. So something that will keep your oily, sweaty mess of a face in check, then I can really recommend this product. It was a true lifesaver these past weeks whenever I had to actually, you know, face people and, you know, actually wear makeup, which was pretty horrible in the heat wave, but I'm sure a lot of you have had that experience. This also isn't actually very expensive and it lasts for a long time, like most sunscreens. So really one to buy and just use occasionally when your skin just needs to look flawless. And it's quite convenient that it doubles as both a primer and a daily sunscreen. But again, if you have dry skin, do stay away from this. It is very drying. And now on to the misbehave of the week, which is, sadly, the Too Cool for School Egg Mousse Soap Facial Cleanser. This may be a bit of a premature misbehave of the week because I haven't used this for very long yet. Maybe roughly a week, 10 days tops. But I feel I can already tell that we two won't become BFFs. I like the idea of this product since I have a bit of a weakness for mousse textures. They just make me happy with their fluffiness. I am also quite the fan by now of the Too Cool for School Egg Mellow Cream and their egg sheet masks. They're really nice. And I also think it's awesome that these products are now available in Germany in drugstores. I think most of Europe now has a distributor for the egg products. Always sounds kind of weird. You know, that whole egg-themed skincare line from Too Cool for School. I've also heard great things about the body products from that line. I haven't tried them yet, but a lot of people sing their praises. Nevertheless, that egg mousse soap for the face, just, yeah, it's just not that great of a cleansing product, to be honest. This is a second step cleanser, so you use it after removing your makeup and your sunscreen with an oil cleanser. It comes out of a spray nozzle and it looks more like shaving cream. So the first thing I didn't like so much is that it doesn't spread that well on the face. It feels very dense and compact, not as nice as those self-foaming cleansers. It's much, yeah, compact. I don't know how else to describe it. And then, like really all of the Too Cool for School egg products, this has a pretty strong fragrance and one I'm not overly fond of. The fragrance is hard to describe, to be honest. It's kind of flowery, but in an old-fashioned way. It's just not for me, and I usually like all the other egg product smells. The egg mellow cream smells divine, sort of like a vanilla egg custard style dessert. Really yummy. And lastly, this cleanser isn't very gentle. Now, it's not horribly aggressive. It's fine. I didn't have terrible reactions or anything. But I guess by now I've tried so many lovely, gentle, and yet strongly cleansing products from Korea that I've become a bit more discriminating. I just expect more now from a K-beauty cleanser, and this one just doesn't fully deliver. I think if you have younger skin and not too much skin trouble overall, maybe if you're in your early 20s and you don't have any severe acne, this might be an okay cleanser. But for my nearly 40-year-old skin, it just doesn't quite work. And maybe I'm also just not the right target group for it anyway. But yeah, I feel I may stop using this for my face soon and potentially just use it all over my body as a sort of shower mousse. Might be quite lovely for that. I still really love the brand. I love the other egg products I've tried, but this one, just, we won't become friends, I feel. And there you have it. My K-beauty trend predictions for the second half of the year. I'm super curious to see how accurate I am with my forecasts. I have to say, I was pretty accurate with my first forecast, feeling a bit smug about that, to be honest. Now, if you want to read up on more trendy products, brands, and beauty news from around the world, don't forget to check out my blog, Sugar Peaches Loves Net. English language posts can be found under the English blog post menu point. It's on the left-hand side of the menu. You can also find the episode notes for this week's podcast on the blog with all the products and any other links mentioned today. Do make sure to follow the podcast's Twitter at KBeautyPodcast for all the latest news and updates, and so that I don't have to feel so alone anymore talking to just, I think, 8 people at the moment. Hashtag sad. It would be nice to see a stronger community of the KBeauty podcast online, so don't hesitate to add me. And you can also, of course, follow me on Instagram. My Instagram account is at sugarpeachesloves, and it mostly centers around Asian beauty products, so if you like this podcast, you will probably like my Instagram. There are a couple of ways to subscribe and listen to the KBeauty podcast. Apart from iTunes and now also Stitcher, you can listen to all the KBeauty podcast episodes on my blog or on SoundCloud. And I'm always super happy to get new subscribers, followers, and or people who are kind enough to leave comments or likes. Always means the world to me. If you are enjoying this podcast, please share it with people who you think may also find it useful, and consider giving it a 5-star review. This is still the best way to support me and this project. I have seen a couple of you leaving 5-star reviews and even writing a full review. Thank you so much, so much. I read them all. I really cherish them all. I don't know how else to thank you except through this podcast. Thank you. If you want to further support my creative work, please consider using the affiliate links provided in the podcast episode notes and my blog articles when you make your beauty purchases. It helps me so much. And if you want to support me in a more direct way, you can also now buy me a virtual coffee on my Ko-fi page, which I will link on my blog. It's basically a one-time donation, roughly the amount of a takeaway coffee, so you're buying me a coffee as a thank you. And if you do that, then already thank you in advance. This also helps tremendously. If you have any questions, queries, or topic suggestions, or maybe you are a brand and you're interested in working with me, you can email me at sugarpeachesloves@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed this little trend forecast, and maybe I inspired you to try out something new, be it blue or purple or hidden inside a minimalist, clinically white packaging. Let's meet again next time for a new K-beauty chat. Until then, happy masking, layering, and patting. Bye, and take care. And also, of course, thank you. Bye.